It's 2022, and I have a word from the Lord right here on Till Zion Sings.
Welcome to Till Zion Sings, a show where we proclaim the next wave of God's glory coming to the earth and connect with God's heart for Israel. This is a place where you'll find encouragement and strengthening and hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the nations and to you. From the northeast of Scotland, here is your host, Frank Sway.
Well, it's another year, 2022, and I hope everyone's had a fantastic Christmas. I've had a great Christmas. I went down to Exeter to see my mum, as I do every year, and it's always exciting. And it's partly because my own mother gets to take a break from cooking because I'm the chef. Now, if you see my Facebook posts, you would have seen the massive turkey lunch I've cooked. We had four people. And also, Happy New Year, everyone. I'm excited about what the Lord is going to do this year. Now, I usually don't do the word of the Lord for the year at the start of each year, not because I don't believe in it, but because usually, a lot of the times, a lot of these words can just be fortune cookie prophecies that kind of one size fits all. And I don't believe that God speaks the same thing to everyone all the time. So this year, the Lord spoke to me at the very start of the year and gave me a word. And a couple of days later, actually just 2 days ago, a prophet in America released a word that contained pretty much exactly what I saw, but coming from a different angle. So I believe this is a word for the global ecclesia, for the whole body of Messiah. And the fact that what I have is coming from a slightly different angle meant that there is a place for it. So on the 2nd of January, the Lord spoke to me that 2022 is going to be 2020 part two. Now, if you're on social media, you've probably seen a meme floating around saying, when you realize 2022 is 2022, T-double-O, suggesting that it's going to be bad. And my initial reaction was, no, I declare that's not going to happen in Jesus' name. And then the Holy Spirit said to me, actually, yes, it is going to be 2022. But I have intended this year to be a year of second chances, and particularly where the body of Christ has failed in 2020. And some of the lessons we learned, we get to exercise them again. And where we haven't learned, the Lord is going to emphasize them again until we do learn them. Now, what this means is that 2022, in a lot of ways, will look like 2020, where the enemy is going to try to replicate many things that happened in 2020, but the Lord has intended it to be a year of second chances. He said 2020 was a year of crisis, but also a year of opportunity. And it was a time for God's people to rise and take the promised land. Now, if you listen to this podcast last year, when it was still Torah Conversations, we talked about how Joshua, or Moses rather, sending out the 12 spies after receiving the Torah from the Lord. You know, it was actually the time to take the promised land. God had never intended Israel to stay in the desert for 40 years and for a whole generation to pass away. Beginning the book of Numbers, it was time to take the promised land. You know, the promised land is a land flowing with milk and honey, but also a land where there is warfare. And we talked about how we often have a romanticized vision of the promised land, that it's all going to be so wonderful. You know, we've been promised this unprecedented outpouring of God's Spirit, you know, this unprecedented revival that's been prophesied many years by so many. And 2020 was the time to take the land. But we forgot that the promised land involves warfare, the taking down of giants. So out of the 12 spies, 10 of them came back with a bad report, but Joshua and Caleb said, yes, there are giants, but we can take them. And the Lord was calling the nation of Israel to rise in courage to take the promised land. It was time, but Israel believed in the bad report and began to complain, saying, maybe we should just go back to Egypt. You know, throughout this pandemic, what were most people doing? Complaining. Now, if you follow me on social media, you might remember that at the end of 2019, I released a prophecy saying Boris Johnson would win the general election, December general election, to take the United Kingdom out of the European Union, and that it would be followed by a Jezebelic onslaught that's characterized by fear, isolation, exhaustion, and hopelessness. And as a result, Boris Johnson would be in hiding for a season and then pick a successor to replace him. And everything except the last two details have been fulfilled so far. But COVID is this Jezebelic onslaught. And in the article, I said that fear would be a major battle in this onslaught and that it would come from the media and that we must reject every narrative that induces fear in our hearts and declare God's promises of revival over this nation, but also the nations. But what happened was that many people got excited over the fact that somebody met the prime minister and prophesied over him, but they've forgotten what the word actually said, which is this onslaught and that we must reject fear. So most of us, most churches actually, believed in the bad report and we shrunk back in fear. We went into hiding just like Elijah did. But in 2022, which is 2020 part two, the Lord is going to emphasize these things again. And it's kind of sad to see that after lockdown, many churches just went back to business as usual. And you know, I was sharing this word last night with a prophetic forum that we have in the northeast of Scotland. And the response was that, sadly, many churches did not learn, at least in the UK, but I think this is true in many other countries, is that we have not learned all the lessons that we ought to learn. And we just went back to business as usual, speaking of going back to Egypt. But the Lord is going to emphasize these things again. And it's going to be a year of second chances, that all the lessons that we did learn, we get to exercise them again. So 2022 will be 2020 part two. And the enemy is going to try to bring fear over us again. And that fear is going to cause us to feel powerless. And powerlessness that's unsurrendered yields to control. And that we must watch out and not yield to that in our hearts. And in this next season, it's extremely important to discern and know the difference between our own feeling and the feeling that the enemy is putting on us. And also to learn how to stir up the gift that's within us. So we're going to talk about how we can do that in a minute. And by the way, don't think for a moment that you're not going to be susceptible to it. You don't feel that way right now. But when that spirit is here, that's going to be a different story, which is why it's so important to discern what is of us and what is of the enemy. Because if you can discern what is of the enemy, then that's a powerful tool, because then you know how to pray. So we're going to talk about that later on. Fear leads to control, and the spirit of control is going to go up a notch in this next season. In many places, there will be restrictions put in place in the name of fighting international and domestic terrorism. The media will spin stories to make many incidents that aren't terrorism to appear like terrorism and to create this narrative of fear. Where the spirit of fear has gotten us last time through COVID, but we now realize that we've been duped by this spirit, the enemy will try to dupe us again through the threat of terrorism. And we must reject every spirit and also know that the media lies. And somebody else in the forum last night shared that the media, some call the fake news media, is the false prophet of our day. And we must reject their narrative. So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about how to overcome fear, how to discern what is of us and what is of the enemy, and how to stir up the gift that is within us. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back to Till Zion Sings.
Hi, it's Lisa Batchelor, host of the Mission Suitcase podcast, where we are unpacking the missional life. I want to send a huge congratulations to my friend Frank on the launch of this brand new podcast, Till Zion Sings. Frank, I'm so excited to join you on this journey as we just hear what all God is proclaiming over the nations and learn more about what He is inviting the body of Christ into during these very special days here on the earth. So congratulations, Frank, and looking forward to many wonderful episodes of Till Zion Sings.
We now return to Till Zion Sings.
Hey guys, welcome back. 2 Timothy 1, verse 6. For this reason, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity or spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Now, how can we stir up the gift within us? Now, when we say stir up the gift, many people have this idea of, you know, shaking ourselves up. And I mean, there is an aspect of that. You know, Samson did it, right? But how do we do that? We look at this verse again. For this reason. Now, for what reason? We need to know. Verse 5. For I am mindful of the sincere faith. This is Paul speaking to Timothy. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. So it begins with sincere faith. We first believe, we choose to believe that God has put His gifts within us. God has given us everything we need to overcome. So the first key is faith. For this reason, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. So this is the second key, laying on of the hands. Now, when we got born again and received the Holy Spirit, God has put a set of gifts within us. But those gifts are activated through the laying on of hands. And sometimes when those gifts are stifled, we need the body to help fan into flames these gifts that God has put in us. We need the body of Christ. We cannot afford to be isolated. You know, COVID has shut many churches down and isolated many. But in this next season, we cannot shut the churches. We need to gather because we cannot, and I stress, we cannot overcome without the body, the ecclesia, which biblically is a gathering, a physical gathering of the people of God in faith that is a family and an army. We're going to talk about this in future episodes. But an ecclesia that is not gathering is not the ecclesia. Now, you might say, what about the global ecclesia? The body of Christ is global, right? I mean, are we supposed to gather, like, all gather in one place as the army of God? Well, why do you think Jesus is going to catch us up in the air when He returns for the final battle for Jerusalem, when the sky opens up and the saints are gathered from every corner of the earth? And what comes after that is literally a military battle to liberate Jerusalem and to save the entire nation of Israel. And the entire global ecclesia is going to be gathered in one place as the army of God. And Jesus, Yeshua, the greater Joshua, is going to lead us in this battle. It's glorious. So yes, absolutely, we will. An ecclesia, an army of God, by definition, is a physical gathering of believers. You know, Matthew 24 is clear that as we approach the end of the age, there's going to be pandemics, wars and rumors of wars, ethnic wars, nation rising against nations and kingdom against kingdoms. So as we approach, as we get closer to the Lord's return, there's going to be more pandemics, worse pandemics. Where we are now is going to be the least intense it's ever going to be until the Lord comes. But at the same time, in that same chapter, in that same context, the gospel of the kingdom would go forth, would be preached to the ends of the earth, and then the end would come. So this means that as God's people, at some point, we're going to have to believe and walk in the supernatural protection of the Lord, both for ourselves and for the people that we minister to and walk with. If we shrink back now, we're done. But the Lord is a God of second chances. Now, of course, if you feel like the way you're doing church is not the way the Lord is wanting you to, and if you feel like what you're doing now is not the assignment that the Lord has given you, of course, then by all means, shut that down. But the Lord has called an army, and the army gathers. Just know that. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. Now, what's the key here? Do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. And what's the testimony of our Lord? That's the spirit of prophecy, right? So what the Spirit of God has spoken to you, stand on it. People might ridicule you for it, but stand on it and stand with courage. But join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. The fourth key here is embrace the cross. You know, when you first decided to follow Jesus, to follow Yeshua, your life was no longer your own. It's not. You have died and rose again with Jesus. It's only through death comes resurrection power. So after death, there is the power of God. So these are the four or five keys. That is faith, walking with the body, stand on the testimony of Jesus, which is the spirit of prophecy, and stand on what the Lord has spoken to you, and then embrace the cross for the power of God. These are the five keys. And how do we discern what is of us and what is of the enemy? Because many things that we're going to feel in this next season, that we think we're going to be convinced that it's our own feeling that we need inner healing. You know, some of you have gone through so many inner healing, like inner healing after inner healing after inner healing, and nothing seems to work. And in this last season, everything has just crumpled. But I want to tell you right now, if you've gone through inner healing on a particular issue and you still, that is not your own feeling. It's the enemy trying to put that feeling on you to convince you that it's your own feeling so that you would come under that spirit and stay under that spirit and never be able to get free. But if you can recognize that, I would say 90% of what we feel are not our own feelings, but are reflections of what's going on in the spirit realm around us, then what you feel can be a powerful tool for intercession because it gives you insight as to what's going on in the spirit realm around us. And when we recognize what's going on, then we can rise up higher in faith and declare the opposite and declare the promise of God. And the Lord, some of you, the Lord's going to give you words that are so specific as to what he's going to do to shift your neighborhood, your city, your region. And he's going to give you insight on how to pray. And when you pray, when you exercise your authority, we talked about the rod in the last episode, your authority is going to increase. And if you see news on TV that induces fear in you, turn off the TV. They're lying anyways. And get in the word. This is the best news we can ever get. This is the narrative that we want. Not the false fake news narrative. We want God's narrative. And the word of God is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. And it divides between spirit and soul. You know, some of you are under things that you don't even know about because your spirit is not strengthened enough. and you've not used the sword to divide between the spirit and the soul. But if you get into the word, you get to recalibrate yourself, right? So speaking of the word, when we come back, we're going to talk about this week's Torah portion, which is Parshat Bo. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back to Till Zion Sings.
Hey there, friends. It's Yoni from Israel Revival Ministries. I'm 21 years old, a Messianic Jew living in Israel. I want to give you a word of encouragement from Matthew chapter 10. So please follow with me. Matthew chapter 10, verses 27 and 28. It says here, and I quote Yeshua, Jesus. He says, "Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." And we know that's God. So friends, God wants us to fear him and not man. God is in charge of this world. He's put us here as ambassadors, his emissaries, to be a light in this generation. Yeshua is coming back soon. Are we being a light? What about our friends and family who don't believe in Yeshua yet, in Jesus? We need to be a light. We need to be bold in our faith. We must let Yeshua speak through us. He lives inside us. And guys, step out in faith. Be obedient to God's call, and you will see many miracles. God is going to work through you and in your life. Be brave, be bold. We should not fear man. Man can't do anything, because God has our souls if we have our faith in Jesus. Be encouraged. God bless you guys. Bye-bye.
We now return to Till Zion Sings.
Hey guys, welcome back. Now this is the segment where we would discuss the Torah portion of the week from a Messianic and Christian perspective. Now this week's portion is Parashat Bo, the portion of Bo, which means to come or to go, which is from Exodus 10 verse 1 to 13 verse 16. Now I've originally scheduled this discussion with my friend David Guler, which you saw in the last episode, but things came up for him and he's not able to make it. But I was listening to last year's discussion on this portion, and we had many guests, a different guest each week. And last year's discussion on this portion was also with David Guler. And when I listened to it, I thought, this is so good. It was actually one of the best episodes I recorded last year. So I thought, instead of getting somebody else to discuss this portion, we'll just play you a portion of the discussion on this Torah portion last year with David Guler. And of course, the whole discussion is about an hour long, so we're not going to be able to play the whole thing for you. But if you want to listen to the whole thing, you can go on to patreon.com/tillzionsings and become a supporting member. And then you'll be able to hear the whole discussion for each episode. So let's play the Torah discussion on Parashat Bo. Well, today I have my friend David Guler back with us to discuss this week's portion, which is Bo. Well, in my translation it says go, but really it means come. But before we go into that, David, how are you doing?
Oh, thank you for asking. I'm doing really well.
Yeah. What's been going on? It's been how many weeks has it been since we had you?
Wow, good question. I don't remember. We can count the portions. We can count the portions, you know.
Several weeks. Yeah. Several weeks. You guys are back in lockdown now, have you?
Yes. It's actually, I stopped counting the lockdowns we had here in Israel.
Yeah.
I think this one is the fifth or something like that.
Really?
Yeah, we just had our fourth one like a week ago, and then they said it was not effective enough, and they just continued and create another one with harder and more cruel rules, you know. Yeah. It's been tough, but what
we're like taskmasters that we read in in Exodus.
Well, I don't know. I don't want to be too evil for them. They're doing it for benefit, but.
Well, I mean, we are talking about a plague.
Yeah.
We are. Well,
you can compare them like that. Yeah.
But wow. You know, do you know what I read? It's so interesting. It's almost, must have been almost over a year now, because last Passover, the first peak of this pandemic, and then of course we had this, you know, for the first time since Exodus, all of Israel had to stay home. And then all of America, I don't think we did it here in Britain, but on Good Friday. So it's kind of like Passover of the Gregorian calendar or whatever. They put red ribbons over the doors. And then all over social media, there was this trend of, you know, posting a picture of when you were a kid, of your firstborn picture all over Facebook.
Yes, I remember that.
Do you know? And all of that. And now, you know, given what's happening in, I don't want to mention any names unless we get banned from Apple Podcasts, but, you know, number 45, let's just put it that way. Number 45, not 46. Okay. Number 45, and we're talking about a Red Sea moment, all of that. It's like, we're seeing this. It's like, it's so interesting. But you know, our trust is in the Lord. Our trust is in the Lord. I mean, we are in a, I think it was the third national lockdown in England, but the second one in Scotland. But we've had smaller lockdowns, smaller restrictions.
Okay.
I think that's the case in Israel as well, right? Because I think you're in terms of national lockdown, you guys are on your third, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, because this one is just continuing. So they just, every 2 weeks, they change the restrictions in order to adapt themselves to the situation. But we all along the time, we had restrictions. We didn't really have like free time of living normal, you know.
So is this one because of the new strain from, well, from us?
Thank you for the gift, I have to say. We really appreciate it. But being serious now, I think it's like a mix of politics and misinformation and not enough experience to know how to deal with such a thing like a plague that, you know, really complicated. So that's what I think.
Yeah,
why everything is happening as it is.
Yeah, I mean, we just have to pray for our leaders.
Yes, you know,
like good or bad.
Mm.
And if they're really setting too much burdens over us, we'll just say, "Let my people go, go somewhere else, go somewhere else." And if you don't, well, let's not go there.
I love your references. I have to say, you're just referencing it. Yeah, you have small touches, which are really fun. Let my people go. That's a good touch.
It's good. Do you know? This portion was actually the portion that was read a year ago on the night of Brexit.
Wow, okay.
It was "Let My People Go" because we left on the 31st of January. Mm. That was a Friday night. So, and because we're like Europe is an hour ahead of us, we left Europe at 11 o'clock, just before midnight.
Mm.
And the clock was like striking. But the Jewish community, because of Shabbat, I mean, the religious Jewish community, because of Shabbat, they couldn't join in the celebrations. But the parasha of that week was Parashat Bo. It was the final "Let My People Go."
True.
Shlach Ami. You know, it's that kind of, it's just amazing. And some of our listeners might know, I prophesied about a month prior that after Brexit, there will be a Jezebelic onslaught, which is what we're seeing in this pandemic. And now we're just experiencing all of that, you know, all over again. And the Lord really is delivering nations from bondage. We might be going through, you know, trials, hardships, but, you know, guys, things have to get worse before they get better. Mm. Because, you know, we've been praying 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If my people who would call upon my name would humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I would forgive their sins and I would heal their land." I think every nation has been praying this prayer. How can we see our land healed, whatever nation you're in, if we don't realize just how sick we are?
Hmm.
How can we? It's not possible. So don't be disheartened. Whatever you're going through, just know that God is delivering you, not just your nation, delivering you and your family. And the devil, for who he truly is, has to be fully revealed. He has to fully manifest before he's cast out. This is what we're seeing. But anyways, let's come to this week's portion. It's Parashat Bo, which in the English translations is "go," but actually in Hebrew it means "come."
Mm.
Right? It's interesting. Why is it called "bo" and not, you know, "lech"?
Go. Lech.
Yeah, but obviously it was written in Hebrew, so I can't really I can't really judge that. But you know, like I haven't tested this. This is my theory. This just came up in my mind. But it seems like every time the Lord was sending Israel out on a mission, he would say Lech, like go. But when he says Bo, it's like when you say come, you're actually inviting them to come closer to you. So, and it says, then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh. But it says, Vayomer Adonai el Moshe, Bo el Pharaoh. Okay. So come to Pharaoh. It's almost like the Lord is standing behind Pharaoh, saying, come to Pharaoh. It's on the side of Pharaoh, saying, come to Pharaoh, but come to me, like, come. So he's inviting Israel to their destiny. So often before we reach our destiny, before we get to our destiny, we have to confront the pharaohs. We have to confront the taskmasters of our lives because our destiny is on the other side. But anyway,
I want to add to what you said. I think it's really interesting because you can see in verses 2 and 3, God is saying to Moses that he wants him to come in order to see what God is going to do for them to remember it and tell it to their children and to the generations to come. So in a way, God was telling Moses, come and witness my doings.
Yes.
Come and witness my miracles in order for you to tell and pass them on to the next generations. So in a way, it's really an invitation for Moses to see something greater than anything else he saw in his life.
Yes, definitely. Mm. Yeah, because previously the Lord had just given Moses this rod of authority. So what we've seen in the last couple of portions, we discussed how the Israelites had become oppressed in a foreign land as a new king, a new pharaoh set taskmasters above them. And we talked about how when they enjoyed the blessings of God, but became sort of complacent. There was no worship coming out of them. So God orchestrated events in such a way that a new king would arise and oppress them so that a cry would rise from them for deliverance. And we talked about how God raised up this deliverer, Moses, and we talked about the making of a deliverer and what it took for a deliverer to be raised up. And then we also discussed in the last portion with Yoav, we discussed the rod of authority. And this was when Moses was prepared, fully prepared, and finally as a deliverer and was ready to take this rod to release the plagues, the judgments on Pharaoh's kingdom. And we talked about how that parallels God's people, his ecclesia, releasing judgment on the Antichrist empire in the last days with this rod, with our rod of prayer, and how God is raising up deliverers in the last days. And in the last portion, we also, the last portion covered the first 7 of the 10 plagues that were, which were water turning into blood, frogs, gnats, or lice, wild animals, pestilence, and boils, and hails. And now this week's portion, Bo, continues on with the last 3 plagues, which with the first 2 being locusts and the darkness over the land for 3 days, not 3 years. So 9 plagues.
That would be brutal.
Yeah, well, then Israel would have been in the land in Egypt for 433 years. But 3 days. Yeah. 3 days. And 9 plagues, and Pharaoh refused to repent. And the 9th plague was sort of like the last straw. And now it's time for the 10th plague. It's almost like all the previous 9 plagues were so that the 10th plague would happen. It's almost like that. It's like God saying, it's almost like all the events prior to that were all leading up to this point. And God is about to show off. Because God is saying, basically, why the killing of the firstborn? Because Israel is God's firstborn, right? So God's saying, Israel is my firstborn. If you don't let my people go, I'm going to kill your firstborn. So this is like God started showing off, and just with a weak Moses who can't even talk properly to people. Somehow he was able to talk to God, you know, with this little stick, this little rod of authority. With our prayers, he was able to just release that, you know, in partnership with God, and God would begin to show off. But actually, I have a question. This is actually the same question that I asked Yoav last time. But I want to ask you the same question, David. Why would, because it says many times, it says the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. Why would God harden Pharaoh's heart and then judge him for it?
Wow, that's a good question, you know. That's like one of the sole points of discussion in the Jewish, you know, nation.
Yeah.
And every generation, they talk and have many opinions about it.
I have to confess, I actually kind of stole this question from the synagogue over here.
Yeah, because they talk about it so much. So
yeah,
I get you.
Yeah.
Well, yes, I think, first of all, I have to say that God hardening the heart of Pharaoh did not make Pharaoh just, and did not give him the excuse to say that God was not fair, I think. Because I really believe that Pharaoh did have evil in his heart, and he did many sins. Mm. And all God was doing was making the consequence and the circumstances and the context of his life hard enough for him to repent.
Yes.
I think the key issue here is that Pharaoh had hard time to repent over his sins, and he had hard time letting go of his ego, of his beliefs, of his the things that gave him security and confidence.
Mm.
So I really believe that God hardening the heart of Pharaoh is more about making it hard for him to repent, and less about really changing his will against his will, if you understand what I mean. I don't believe that God is really interfering with our will. I really believe that God is giving all the time for us the freedom of choosing bad or evil, you know. He didn't tell anyone, come, you now you're a believer in Jesus and that's it. He really gave you the choice and you need to choose it. It's the thing of faith, you know, that without it, what's the point of faith? What's the point of really deciding to go after Jesus? So I really believe that God did not make Pharaoh unable to choose good and to let the Israelites go, but rather made it harder for him to choose it, you know, because of consequences, because of the context he was living in. I also have many verses to show it, because you can see in many places that even Egypt itself wanted to let the Israelites go already, you know. Let's see. You can see in verse 7, his advisors and counselors told Pharaoh, come on, dude, you know, like, we're suffering so much. Why just let them go? Who are they? They are nothing. We don't care about them anymore.
Yes.
We just want our peace back, you know.
Yeah,
And Pharaoh did actually consider that, because later on he just requested again Moses and Aaron in his place and asked them, where do you want to go? What do you want to do? With whom will you go? And when Moses told him again that all the nation, even the cows and the cattle and everything will go, Pharaoh back, like, out of nowhere just said, no, I will not let you go. Because then again, he just considered it again, and he saw that letting all the nation go is something too precious for him. You know, the nation was precious. His ego was precious for him. And I think that this decision, you know, it was something from God. The circumstances and his heart made him choose not to repent, not to go, choosing the good thing he should have chosen.
In other words, God had already seen what's in Pharaoh's heart already.
Yes.
So he basically revealed that to make it obvious.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. What you said about, verse 7 is a great point. I actually have that highlighted in my Bible, because it seems like when you look at the story as a whole, it seems like the Lord was not merciful towards Egypt. But actually, we see hints, because obviously they don't record every single detail, because the whole point was how God delivered Israel. But there are details, there are hints that we can see that there were people repenting, turning to him. Verse 7 would be a point, because I'm sure God would have looked at those people, those servants, with mercy, with a measure of mercy. And it happened in the last portion as well, when the livestock were being killed, You know, those, it says, those that feared the word of the Lord or feared God actually brought the livestock in, but those didn't have them all killed, had them all killed. So there were people that repented. And my last week's guest, Yoav, made a great point that when Israel, all of Israel left Egypt, there were Egyptians that actually followed the congregation of Israel.
Yes, we can also see in this parasha that many Egyptians liked Israel. You know, they loved them. They even gave them gold and silver and many expensive things before they went.
Yes, yes. So in terms of salvation, Gentile salvation existed already. We're talking about Gentile people grafted into the people of Israel. We see that. We see that here. Yeah.
We can also see that everyone who blesses the seed of Abraham is getting blessed. You know, this promise God gave Abraham that all the blessers will get blessings and all the cursers will get, you know, cursed. So I think you can see this happening right here.
Yes. Yes. So and we come to the last plague, which is the killing of the firstborn. I mean, this is the most significant one because this is the story. This is the story of Passover, really, because Passover, people think of it as people confuse Passover with, you know, the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, because of course today we celebrate both together. We confuse the two, but actually Passover has nothing to do with the bread, but actually the death angel passing over so that with the blood on the door frames so that the firstborn would not die. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Wow, I think that's a really key point or key foundation, something that we really build on when we say why the sacrifices can save us and why Jesus Christ's sacrifice can even save us. Why Jesus had to die even? Why did he have to shed his blood? You know, it's these concepts came from this point in history.
Yes.
And the Pesach is a really good explanation, foundation for, and also an example for why the blood can save us and why a holy blood can save us. I found something interesting. God was able to find all the firstborns of every family. Right, so he knew how to distinct a firstborn from not a firstborn. So why did the Israelites had to sign themselves with blood if God could see them and know that they are Israelites? He could find firstborns, so why couldn't he find Israelites? So I thought about it for a second, and then I thought that the reason God asked Israelites to put the blood on their doors was more for teaching them and giving them the example and the explanation for what is about to come, you know, in the future, in the really far future. But I think that's like the foundation. God was really showing them this as a ceremony, as something they need to remember and do every year to remember and not forget how God saved them with this blood in order to really understand the connection between this and Jesus coming. That's what I thought, because there's no other reasons for them to do that, actually.
Well, I think practically it's also so that people can choose, because just because they were part of Israel, you know, some of them might choose Egypt. I don't know. Actually, maybe not. Maybe not, because they were oppressed.
We don't see any record of it.
No, but I think it is significant, not just for that generation, but for the generations to come, because it is the blood that saves not just Israel, but the nations, everyone. But we do have to choose. Maybe not originally in that generation, but it's, you know, it's an everlasting ordinance. You know, this Pesach meal is an everlasting ordinance. So it's relevant in every generation. Mm. And you know, even in the last days, when God says, I will save all of Israel, all Israel will be saved. I mean, this is the kind of verse that we like the most. But actually, each individual still had to choose, and we know that. We read from Zechariah that in fact it's only a third of Israel that gets saved in the end. It's a remnant, because the other two thirds willingly took the mark of the beast from the end time Pharaoh. So they were destroyed. They were cut off from the congregation of Israel. What remained was a third of all of Israel, and God saved all of them, each and every one of them. But yeah, let's read a little bit of the Passover story, shall we? Mm-hmm. Chapter 12. How about you read it in Hebrew? Let get our listeners to hear a little bit of Hebrew.
Hebrew. Wow, that's brave.
Okay, just a little bit, just yes. Like a couple of verses, and then I'll do it in English.
Nah, I just laugh that maybe they have Google Translation on videos and sound, you know, they can understand what I say. So I'm reading from chapter 12, from verse 1. ויאמר אדוני אל משה ואל אהרון בארץ מצרים לאמור, החודש הזה לכם, ראש חודשים, ראשון הוא לכם לחודשי השנה.
Hey guys, thanks again for listening or watching this week's episode. Now again, if you want the full discussion on the Torah portion, go on to patreon.com, patreon.com/tillzionsings and become a supporting member of the show and get extra content for each episode. Till next time, until Zion sings.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's show. We pray you were blessed, encouraged, and strengthened. For more information on our mission, visit our website, tillzionsings.com. For daily content, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Till Zion Sings. And lastly, for exclusive bonus content and early access to episodes, become a supporting member of the show at patreon.com/tillzionsings.